The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
Mitzrayim, the Jewish people, the children, the mishpocha of Yaakov Avinu will be more successful in maintaining their own integrity because it's a toyavas Mitzrayim lecho lechemim ho'ivrim, because the Mitzrim are repulsed by them. The Mitzri will under no circumstances even sit down to break bread with the Ivrim, with the Hebrews, with the Jewish people. And therefore they will be safe. However, if they remain in Canaan, in Eretz Yisrael, then they will intermarry, they will marry the Goyim, he says, and integrate and assimilate with them. It seems a bit strange that if not for the negativity of the nations around us, then if left to our own resources, despite the fact that we are the children of Yaakov, despite the fact that they taught them the Shivtekor, taught their children and their grandchildren the Torah that Yaakov learned Bismeder Shem Va'ever, despite the fact that they were living in Eretz Yisrael and they certainly attempted to hold themselves together as a family, but despite all of that. If not for the fact that there's an opposing, that the object of their potential intermarriage is against them, will not deal with them, they remain vulnerable. So even people so well fortified and so well educated and so connected as a family and eventually as a nation, having such big glorious traditions, But living in Eretz Yisrael, but they remain vulnerable to outside influences unless the influences are against them and will not allow them to penetrate. So we can't rely on, especially in an open and modern society like today, we can't rely on the outside influences not penetrating, because we are accepted and they allow us in, and we're not being ostracized, or we're not being excluded from the things that maybe throughout our history were excluded from. If we have to be aware that this outside influence is all-powerful, is so powerful, and it certainly has to be reckoned with, and its influence has to be avoided and prevented wherever possible. Of course, we can't avoid that influence by locking our children up, because it just doesn't work and it's not going to happen. On the other hand, insulating them and inspiring them and giving them a sense of who they are and how much they have to lose can certainly be helpful. But another example of this is a halacha at the end of Hilchas Purim, where the Rambam discusses the halacha of a person who has some extra money after having fulfilled the mitzvahs, Shalach Monos and the Suda and Matonas Levyonim. And what should he do with that extra money? The Rambam says the money should be most appropriately given to aniyim, matonas levyonim. He says, because I guess Purim is a day of simcha, and there's no simcha, he says, there's no happiness or joy like the simcha of one who rejoices the hearts of downtrodden people. And therefore giving matonas levyonim is the appropriate use for this additional money, because that's the maximizing the simcha sayoim. And he says that the reason is there's no simcha like the simcha of rejoicing the hearts of the brokenhearted and downtrodden, because one who does that is comparable to Hashem himself. As the posuk says, lahachius nefesh shvolim, Hashem uplifts the downtrodden and brokenhearted. And therefore a person feels he's emulating his creator. That's very interesting. He could have spent the extra money on drinks, on alcohol, and fulfilled in a greater magnitude the Simchas Hayom. However, this, it seems, is more critical, because it gives him a sense of who he is. Because real Simcha comes from giving. I apologize to those that we missed due to technical difficulties, and just to try to connect with those that have been listening on the phone. We're talking about ways of preventing our children, especially from the dangers, the current danger. This evening is a dangerous evening for some, hopefully not for many, and hopefully that it will turn out to be a safe one, but we have to be able to deal with these issues. And one of the ways to deal with these issues, and the common denominator of what we've been saying until now, is when our children appreciate their own chashivus, when the potential for danger becomes the potential of a loss of an unbelievable magnitude, when they realize if I, cholila, were to get sick, or if I, cholila, were to be in an accident or something to happen, that would be a tragedy because of who I am, because of the greatness that I have within myself, because of the future, the brilliant and accomplished and prolific future which lies ahead for me, and because of that present sense and status of dignity and chashivus that I have, to the degree that they appreciate that, is to that degree that they will be more careful with themselves. We gave a very simple mushel. If a kid has a buck in his pocket, the chances of loss he's not going to worry about so much because it's only a dollar. However, if I had a check for $1 million, it would be a different story. I'd be extra, 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 extra careful. I wouldn't chance anything. I wouldn't go on the train to Manhattan. I wouldn't put myself in a situation where maybe I'll imbibe something and then not realize what I'm doing and empty out my pocket and just throw it away. I'll be extra, extra careful because of the chashivus. So too, to the degree that they appreciate their own chashivus, it's to that degree that that they will be more careful in what they do. And in general, training our children, we mentioned the Rambam says that with additional money on Purim, it's more appropriate rather than the other mitzvahs to use it for matonas levyonim, to give to the poor, because he says there is no simcha like the simcha of one who rejoices the heart of the brokenhearted people, because that simcha makes a person emulate Hashem. He feels enlightened to God himself. He feels choshuv. I am acting as HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts, and that makes me feel good about myself, and I have simcha. And that's really what we have to give our kids. In fact, one might say that the long-term antidote to dangerous and frivolous and foolish behavior might very well be chesed, giving. The more that our children learn to give, the more they feel good about themselves, because they feel godly, they feel uplifted, they feel connected with a higher authority. They feel that they are emulating the kindness and the chesed of their Creator, and that makes them feel good about themselves. And when they feel good about themselves, they don't have that gnawing need to find temporary relief. And that's really what it is. It's, you know, taking in some alcohol or whatever it may be and temporarily feeling a little bit okay, a little high, a little pleasurable, but in reality crashing after that and realizing that I'm right back where I started from and I even feel worse. And if they can develop this positive sense of themselves in the doing of chesed. I give, I give, I give. I feel so good that I give. It makes me feel so good about myself. When it comes to remembering a long time later an inebriated experience or a chesed experience, then the chesed experience lingers in their memory because it has made them feel good about themselves, whereas the drinking only made them feel sick and miserable and certainly not good about themselves. In fact, on another level, it makes them feel worse about themselves because I need the bottle to feel a little bit good. I can't feel it on my own. I need that bottle. I need that outside. I can only be chemically happy. I can't be emotionally and humanly happy. And by giving and by doing good and by recognizing who we are, who I am, what greatness I have within me, it can make all the difference in the world. However, I would, as long as we're discussing this topic, I would point out something else too. There are two words that start with the same letter P, as in Peter, that are really inappropriate words as far as our children are concerned, or they spell something which causes great problems. One, of course, is pressure. Our kids don't want pressure. Pressure is sometimes overwhelming and devastating. But the other word, surprisingly, is potential. And many of us, well-meaningly, will tell our children, wow, you have such potential. How can you waste it? What are you doing? Or in the context of this evening's discussion, you have such great potential. Don't put it in danger. Don't put your life in danger. Don't do things which might make you sick, which might compromise that potential. And one would think that that potential is a beautiful concept, you know. But in reality, in the world of our children, potential is a dirty word. Because what potential is heard, what they hear when they hear the word potential is, actually, you're nothing. You're trash. You have great potential. And our kids live in the present, not in the future. They don't have the patience for the future. The future is too far away. And in the present, I want to hear that I'm good, that I'm worthy, that I'm great, that I'm capable, that I'm smart, that I'm accomplished, not the potential to be good and to be great and to accomplish. So I think in this type of discussion, we have to be extra careful that we don't talk about your great potential, but rather the actual. And the truth of the matter is, in building up our children, the concept of potential is really very, very dangerous, because it consistently reinforces the message that I'm not now, I'm not much at all, if anything, but I have great potential. Whereas they have to hear and feel and discover that they have greatness right now. This is their greatness. They have this greatness, and we have to sense that greatness and respect that greatness and love that greatness and communicate that greatness to them. To the degree that our children feel that chashivus of themselves, that sense of validity, that sense of self-worth, that sense of self-esteem, it's to that extent that they will not want to indulge in dangerous behaviors. I'm sure that any study of the personality types that engage in dangerous behavior will find to a very, very large, almost exaggerated extent that it's the type of people that don't have good feelings about themselves, that have, as we would say, low self-esteem, that don't feel much about their own personal validity. So these are the types of people that engage in these types of behavior because of the void, because of the emptiness that they feel, and they have to fill it with something. So they fill it with a chemical. But those that have strong sense of self and strong sense of self-esteem and good feelings about themselves in the present, those are the children that are much more protected from dangerous dangerous experiences and dangerous exposures, and in general grow up more immune to all of the foolishness and dangerous activities that have become so common in our society. Of course, with a couple of hours left till the time that they may be indulging in these behaviors, hopefully it shouldn't be, this message is probably a bit belated. This message has to happen from the earliest stages of life. As soon as we can communicate with our children, they have to have this sense of feeling good about themselves, of we appreciating them, respecting them, loving them, recognizing their qualities and communicating it to them in ways that are credible and meaningful to them. And if we raise and nurture our children on this type of a diet, we can be fairly certain that they will be much less prone and much more against putting themselves in any type of dangerous situation or any type of dangerous behaviors, because they have so much to lose and they appreciate what it is that they have.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.